Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
And so this morning, I want to speak on living in the promise. Living in the promise. It's taken from the passage in 1 Samuel chapter 14, from verse 1 to verse 15. Living in the promise. One day, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost." But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. Meanwhile, Saul and his 600 men, and Saul's 600 men are mighty men, they are warriors, they are fighters, you know, were camped on the skirt of Geba, around the pomegranate tree in Miron. And among Saul's men was Ahijah, the priest, who was wearing the ephod, the priestly vest. You thought that when Saul has the priest, he would have consulted the priest, "What are we going to do with the Philistine surrounding us?" But Saul didn't. Saul just sat under the tree, you know. And when he sat under the tree, in verse 4, you know, but Jonathan has a different idea. To reach the Philistine outpost, Jonathan had to go down between two rocky cliffs that were called Bozek and Sinai. The cliff on the north was in front of Mimesh, and the one on the south was in front of Geba. And this is what Jonathan said, "Let us go across to the outpost of this pagan." Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder, nothing can stop the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few." Verse 7, "Do what you think is best," the armor bearer replied. "I am with you completely, whatever you decide." "All right then," Jonathan told him, "we will cross over and see them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Stay where you are, or we will kill you,' then we will stop and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come on up and fight,' then we will go up, and that will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them." When the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, "Look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes." Then the man from the outpost shouted to Jonathan, "Come on up here, and we will teach you a lesson." "Come on, cram right behind me," Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "for the Lord will help us defeat them." So they climbed up using both hands and feet, and the Philistine fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed those who came behind them. They killed some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered all over about half an acre. Suddenly, panic broke out in the Philistine camp, both in the camp and in the field, including even the outpost and raiding party. And just then, an earthquake struck, and everyone was terrified. Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you for your words this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your words is true, and your words will help us to live the life that you call us to live. We ask, Lord, that you will touch each heart that is here, that we will be able to live in the promises that you have given to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When God promised you, "I will never leave you or forsake you," what is God saying to you? This powerful promise that he has given to us, Jesus himself said this to us before he was taken up to sit at the right hand of the Father. He said that, "I will never leave you or forsake you." How many of you like this promise? This is a very powerful promise that you can cling on, that you can stand upon when you go through life. And when Jesus said this, "I will never leave you or forsake you," God is promising you that "I am for you. I am with you, and I am in you." So just this word, I will never leave you or forsake you. Come three very powerful and precious promises. They are given to you to give you courage. They are given to you to give you comfort. That at any time in your life, when you face situation and difficulty, when you are doubtful, you can stand upon this powerful promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. When you have this promise, you can have this confidence, and you can boldly say, you know, as what is written in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? What a way to live your life, to say that God, you are my helper, you are my strength, you are my protector. Because of you, God, I will not fear. I will not panic. I will not worry. I will not be anxious. How many of you like to live that kind of life? Lord, because of you, whatever I'm going through, I'm not going to carry it. I'm going to give it to who? I'm going to give it to you. How many of you like to give your problem to God? Come on, put up your hand here to give your problem to God. You know, and we do that. But sometimes when we say, Lord, I want to hand it to you. But after we talk to him, we still carry the same problem, the same burden with us. But this powerful words tell us that when God said, I am with you, I will never forsake you, he promised us that he is for us. When the word of God says, I am for you, it means that your battle is my battle. Israel realized that when God is for them, when they had to face a battle, whether it's a big battle or a small battle, they will never face a battle by themselves. That God is the one that fight for you. You know, sometimes when we think of people who give us a hard time, we only see the physical sense, but we do not know that there is a spirit that is walking behind them, that is unseen with our eyes, an influence that is behind them. Only God can fight the battle for us. So when you have this promise, you will not fear, you will not be terrified, and you are able to say, what can man do to me? Now, this is a serious question. What can man do to me? A lot. A lot. When you do not know how to say no. How many of you in life have this problem where you do not know how to say no? When you do not know how to say enough is enough. The fear of man is real. Is called anophobia. And when you see their face, their look, their voices, and their presence can catch you like a bird that is being trapped. The fear of man is a trap. The Bible tells us that fearing people is a dangerous trap, is a snare. But trusting God, trusting the Lord means safety. It protects you from them. So the fear of man can squeeze you, can disobey you, empower you, can immobilize you. Suddenly, when the fear of man strike you, you feel yourself shortness of breath. You feel hard to breathe. Then you find that it's very hard for you to think. Blankness is in your mind. Therefore, a person who is always able to have confidence to speak, now the fear of man grip you and you cannot open your mouth. It seems as if you have lost your voice. Have you been there before? It's not a good place to be. I know and I have experienced the fear of man. It is real. Anxiety singing, the heartbeats increase, cold sweat in your hand. And then you ask yourself, where is the panic button that I can press on? That's why the Bible always tells us in Proverbs 29 verse 25, it warns us, fearing people is a dangerous trap, it's a snare. But trusting the Lord means safety, it protects you from that. The Hebrew word for snare means a trap, where the hunter used to catch a bird or animals. And the snare are dangerous. If we get caught, we must do whatever we can to free ourselves. The fear of man. One form of the fear of man is desiring others to give us approval. If you are a person always needs the approval of people because you want to be loved, you want to be liked, you know, you want to be noticed, you want to be accepted, you want to be approved. And if you have this struggle with you, this is the consequences of our fallenness. We feel ourselves incomplete. We feel ourselves empty. And so we need the approval of someone. If you have that struggle, seeking for man's approval, then you will find yourself compromising, bending backward, and walking on the fine line. Seek not man's approval, but rather seek who? Seek God's approval. Proverbs 16 verse 7 tells us, when God approves of your life, even your enemy will end up shaking your hand. How you like that? When you seek God's approval, God can even make your enemies to shake your hand. How you like that? But many times, because of the fear of man, we try to seek man's approval. How do I overcome the fear of man? How do I overcome it when I have a fear for man? I overcame the fear of man with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time when I'm fearful of man, I always tell myself this verse. And this verse has been a very powerful verse in the days of my growing up. When you deal with people who can bully you, who can press you, who can take advantage of you, when you deal with people, you know, whether your promotion comes or whether you have the job or not, sometimes because of that, I have to provide bread for the home. You allow the fear of man to grip your heart. But the things that stopped me from fearing man, rather to fear God, is the word of Jesus Christ. The word of Jesus Christ is said, do not be baffled into silence by the threat of bullies. There are nothing they can do to your soul, your core being. Save your fear for who? For God, who holds your entire life, body, soul, in His hand. The Bible tells us very clearly, Jesus said, why fear men? They can only what, touch and destroy your body. Rather fear who? Fear God, who can destroy your body and your soul. And this has been a very powerful verse for me. Every time when I'm put in a situation where the fear of man grips me, I always tell myself, what can they do to me? What can they do to me? Maybe they can say words. I know some of us say that words doesn't hurt, but sometimes words does hurt. Maybe they can look and breathe their hot breath on me. But no matter what, they can only harm my body, but they cannot harm my soul. Because of that, He has helped me not to fear man, but to fear God. Because man has limitation. Man has limited power, but God has absolute and ultimate power. Be like David, the man after God's own heart. He has this confidence in God that you must have. David confess, and he continued to confess in Psalm 118 verse 7, the Lord is on my side. Say that, the Lord is on my side, you know, and take my part. He's among those who help me. Therefore, shall I see my desire established upon those who hate me. What a way to know that you are not alone. Say amen. You are not alone. He said, the Lord is on my side. And I'm telling you, if I want the Lord to be on my side, I better stand on whose side? I better stand on the Lord's side. So the Lord is on my side. Why do I fear man? What can man do unto me? The promise of I am with you. I am for you. I am in you. That promise is to give you perfect security, perfect protection, perfect peace. And when you have that, then there is courage, there is confidence, there is conquest in the power of God to meet every life challenges before you. This morning, no matter what you face in your life, just remember, it is just temporary, it is just a season passing through. It is not permanent. Problems are not permanent. Troubles are not permanent. Affliction are not permanent. It is just a wind that is passing through. Don't be caught by the wind, but rather trust in the what? In the living God. In the living God who say that I am with you. I will never forsake you. So we come to this passage today in 1 Samuel chapter 14. In this passage, we see how Jonathan was able to stand on the promises of God and believe that God is with him, that God is for him, and God is able to help him. You see, when Israel asked God, give me a king. Give me a king. We want a king. God gave them a king. And this was one promise that God has given to Israel. And the promise that God has given to Israel is that he shall save my people from the hand of the Philistine. That when God said, you want a king, I will give you a king. And through this king, he will save my people from the Philistine. From these people who are always trying to kill the children of Israel, that I will empower this king and he will save my people. So when God said, I give you a king, and this king has this promise, you would expect the king to stand on the promise and say, oh, I believe in this promise. If the Philistine comes against me, what do I have to worry? What do I have to fear? Because I have this promise that God will save his people. But then you find, what was Saul doing? The Bible tells us Saul was sitting under a tree. You know why was he sitting under the tree? Saul was lost. He did not know what to do with the Philistine surrounding him. He didn't realize that when God gave him this promise, as a king, you will save my people. He could have stand in that promise and see a great victory. But Jonathan, the son of Saul, he took the promise of God very seriously. He believed that God will save his people from the Philistine. And not only he believed, he acted on it and he lived in the promise. I want you to know that God has given us many promises in the Bible. Promises for every day. Promises for every situation, every problem, every challenge, every need. It's in the Bible. The question is, would you believe it? Would you stand in it? And would you live in it? And allow the promises of God to work in you. So Jonathan tell his armor bearer, come on, let's go into the Philistine camp. Let's go there and let's see what God can do. You know, when you stand in the promises of God, you are saying to God, God, I trust what you say. I'm not doubting you. When you stand in the promises of God, you are saying to God, God, I trust your character. And the Bible tells us that God is not a man that he should ever lie. What he promised, what he said, he will fulfill. Say amen to that. And we need to hold on. Lord, I cannot see light in darkness. Lord, I cannot see a breakthrough. How it's going to happen? I don't know how it's going to happen. But one thing I know, you promise that you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You will see me through. This is your promise, God. So I want to hold on to the promise and see to it that it comes to pass. You see, sometimes, because we don't hold to the promise of God long enough, when God is about to perform His promises, we are not there to receive it. Not Jonathan. Jonathan believed in the promise of God, and he rests in the promise of God, and he believed. He believed that the best antidote for worry, for anxiety, for fear, to live in the fullness of life, the best antidote is to this: I will trust and not be afraid because of He promised. He promised me, I will never leave you or forsake you. So, that promise to Israel that God will save His people from the hand of the Philistine, Saul did not believe and act on it, but Jonathan did. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 tell us, for as many as are the promises of God, they are all find their yes, their answer in Christ. Christ, for this reason, is also utter amen, so be it, to God through Him, in person and by His agency, to the glory of God. What does it mean? What does it mean that all the promise of God find their yes in Him? It means that when you open the Bible and you see a promise in line with God's will, say amen. Must be in line with God's will. Cannot be against His will. When it's in line with God's will, you can say, God, this promise that You have written in the Bible, it is for me. It can perform in my life. It can perform in my situation because I have them through Christ. Say amen. Through Christ. Not because I'm good. Not because I'm deserving. I have this promise. And You can do it for me through Christ. So I'm trusting You. And when I'm trusting You, Lord, I'm saying amen to it. So let it be. God speak to Christ. Christ reached down and faith stretches and every promises of God is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In and through Him, you take the promises of God and say, yes, Lord, I trust You. I believe in Your promises. I know what You say is true. You are for me. You are with me. You are in me. So Jonathan believed that God will save His people from the Philistine. And he acted on the promise. How does living in God's promise affect your life? It gives you courage. Courage in God. One day Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outposts. But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. You know, facing before Jonathan is a massive army. The Philistine has 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. Saul did not know what to do. He sat under a tree. He was lost in word and in fear. He allowed the enemy to intimidate him. He allowed the masses of his size of the enemy. He feared their face, their voices, and the presence of the enemy. But not Jonathan. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, good day, Pastor Les. Good to have you us. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over the other side. While others were cowered, fearful, and frightened for their life, Jonathan trusts God for victory. He acted on distrust. He said that, I will not be a victim, just like the rest of them, because I believe God will save my people from the hand of the Philistine. So when Jonathan said this word, let's go over, he displayed two things. He displays courage and he displays leadership. Leadership is stepping to the other side. When others say, cannot, Impossible. It's too difficult. Leadership said, let's go over the other side. It is possible. He displayed leadership. He displayed courage. When others are fearful, he said, let's go over. There is courage. This morning, maybe you need courage from God. That courage comes because he promised you, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am for you, I am with you, I am in you. No matter what problem you are facing, no matter what is your need, whether it's in the workplace or in the home, remember this, you are not alone. Let God give you the courage that no mountain is too high, no valley is too deep, that the God who said, I created the heaven and the earth, is the God who said, I am here to empower you and to help you. So courage came. And that's what it means. When I believe in the promise of God, I have the courage. Courage to live day for day. Courage to believe something good can happen. Courage to come into my heart so that I'm not fearful, so that I don't string. In the absence of courage is discouragement. Discouragement. But courage say, let's go over the other side. For a person that is in the hole, for a person that has problem, that has trouble, the first step is the most important step. How do you get a person out of bed? The first step. How do you get a person out of a hole? The first step. So when Jonathan said, let's go over, that's the first step. Many people in their life never have breakthrough, never can live in the way God wants them to live because they don't have the courage to take the first step. The first step to us may be easy, but to some people, the first step may be the most difficult step. But it's only the first step that gives you the power for what? The second step. The second step. Think about a baby. If the baby never get up and take the first step, the baby will never walk. So in the same, when you believe in the promise of God, the first step, the first step. God, I believe that you will help me to have my own house. The first step. What's the first step? Save for your deposit. That's the first step. But if you don't do the first step, you never get. Lord, I believe that you promised me that I will have a good marriage as a husband. What is my first step? See, the first step is important. Isn't it? If you don't take the first step, well, I hope you will hear what Pastor Kara shared with you, what women want. You know, that first step. But many people excuse themselves and they never take the first step. And because they never take the first step, they cannot see the promises of God that is so real that Jesus Christ died for them. Come to pass in your life. But Jonathan, have the courage, he said, let's go over the other side. Not like people who say, it is too hard, I can't, I tried before, it is no use. While others hide and are lost, Jonathan displayed courage. He will not allow the massiveness of the enemy to intimidate him. He will not allow any situation to defeat him because he knows it is not finished unless God says it is finished and over. See, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. This great promise for you, I am for you, I am with you, I am in you. Take courage in this promise and step up. Step up. And step over to the other side. One small step may be just what you need for the events that will lead you to your victory. One small step. Some people find it so hard. Then, not only there is courage, there is confidence in God. Because Jonathan believed that nothing stopped God. Nothing stopped God. He said, perhaps God will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle, whether he has many warriors or only a few. Nothing can stop God to fight for Israel. You see, if you look at the history of Israel, whenever they trust God, whenever they rely on God, when the Philistine comes, they are defeated. But whenever they go their own way, the Philistine will oppress them. And there are many battles in the Old Testament where Israel fought with the Philistine. That confident. Many battles. But you know, not every battle that they fought with the Philistine was army and army. On one occasion, only two persons, and this occasion, Jonathan and his armor bearer defeated the Philistine. On another occasion, only one person, David, defeated Goliath. Because both of them know this, that nothing restrains the Lord. Nothing can stop God. Nothing can stop God from loving you. Nothing can stop God from helping you. Nothing can stop God from intervening in the situation you are in. Nothing. You may think in your emotion, you may think in your thoughts and your feeling, God, I blew it, I don't deserve it, I don't think you can help me. We have all these negative emotions, but the Bible tells us nothing can stop God. We can be unfaithful and faithless, but God is forever what? Faithful. Nothing. And so Jonathan, believe this. We can have this confidence that nothing stops God. You know, and sometimes it is possible that we oversize our problem. We oversize, just as the Israelite. They saw the enemy and they say, wow, there are so many of them. But yet, Jonathan believed one with God is better than thousands without God. One voice, one person in God is better than the multitudes in numbers. Because as far as God is concerned, He will protect His children. He will protect His people because these are His people who are in covenant with Him. There is a covenant of protection in Psalm 91 for those who believe in His promises. The size of the enemy is no problem to God. Likewise, the size of your difficulties and problem and need is no problem to God. Be encouraged when you face against odds. God, this is too big. Don't be intimidated by the size or the complexity of your problem. God, I don't know how to solve this. But rely on the endless resources of God that is able to empower you and strengthen you and give you the wisdom and help you in every battle of life. Nothing stops God to save you, to help you, to deliver you. You may be the few Christian or the only Christian at the workplace, at the school, in the university, or in the family. God showed through Jonathan that He could and He would accomplish great things through just one person who trusts in Him, who believes that nothing can stop or restrain God to help him. The third thing and the last thing is when you have this promise, I will never leave you or forsake you, conquest in God. That whatever you go through in life, God has a purpose. God is not wasteful. So when Jonathan and his armor bearer, when he saw the outpost of the Philistine, military, it will tell you, it is suicide, it is madness to approach and attack the enemy. They were not in the best terrain. The terrain was hard and it was tough. In fact, for them to come down, they had to go on their knee and crawl. One of the things you need to realize, the promises of God in Jesus Christ is fulfilled. We need to have the humility to receive it, to be dependent on Him. Jonathan and his armor bearer have to pass through two sharp stones. One of the sharp stones is Bozek. It means shining or slippery. The other one is Sinai, which means Tonle. I remember the word of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to verse 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. There are few who find it. Life does have difficult time. And sometimes we want to choose the easy way out. How many of you like the easy way out? But sometimes in life, it's not the easy way out. And I remember a prophet came one day when I was in a pastor meeting and he was prophesying on me. I didn't ask for him. He came to me. He said, I'm going to prophesy. He said, God, he has always asked you. That's me. Lord, bring me when problem comes and when difficulty comes, he's always asking you, God, bring me over it. Bring me around it. How many of you like that? We all like that. But he's turned around and he said to me something that I didn't want to hear. He said, but God is going to bring you through it. How many of you like that? God is going to bring you through it. But God, why bring me through difficult time? Why bring me to things that will make me struggle, that will stretch me, that will really open, you know, that I become naked before you? Why, God? Because God said, I do this to bring you through so that I can expose the intent of your heart, so I can reveal to you who you are, so that you can see yourself and trust me and submit yourself to me and let me change you. So this is what happened to Jonathan and his armor bearer. To go to attack the Philistine, they had to go through this two tough stones. One, to shine or to sleep. You know, when troubles comes into your life, two things happen. You come out shining or you come out being sleepy. What do you want? I want to come out shining. And what is to be shining? Is to be a better person. Say amen. I don't care what you go through. Lord, help me to be a better person. Help me to become more Christ-like. If I go through this and you become, make me an angry person, an ugly person, an unChrist-like people, a hot-tempered person, an angry person, God, what glory does it bring to you? I want to be able to go through life. Whatever I go through, I want to come out shining. How about you? Shining for Jesus Christ. What a life. What a life. And so when they went through it, they came out shining with victory. And this is the promise that God said to you. I am for you, I am with you, and I am in you. Have courage in me. Have confidence in me. And have conquest in me. And I want you to live in these promises every day. This promise. God, you are for me. My battle is your battle. God, you are with me. I'm not alone. God, you are in me. My strength and my hope comes from you. Then I can be like the psalmist that say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be besieged with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be frightened. What can man do to me? What a powerful way to live. Live in the promises of God. Live in His promise. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.